Success, it should be about a sense of accomplishment. Like that's what fuels my heart, is what makes me give meaning to life. And being neurodivergent, with like, I have to be allegiant to that. I can do things that are boring for a little while, but if it insults my soul, I will find a way to escape it. I was so lit up when you were talking about divine guidance, because I think that's the out. That's the medicine. It's not about we're gonna do the thing. It's about I'm gonna trust divine intuition to guide me and inspire me to do the thing that divine guidance wants me to do. And it's always in harmony with what I truly want. Always in harmony. It's never like divine guidance wants me to do something I don't want to do. It's always like win-win.
Hello, and welcome to the We Are the Medicine podcast. This podcast is a place where we discuss a wide variety of topics, from psychedelics and other plant medicines to sovereignty and spirituality. This is a space where we have raw and vulnerable conversations and explore the mysteries of our universe with the intention of empowering listeners and guiding you to ask the questions that will help you come into a deeper resonance with your truest essence. I'm your host, Serena Rose. Now let's get into the episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of We Are the Medicine. Today's episode is very special for me because within the last couple years, I have gone through what some may call an ADHD epiphany, basically finding out that I experience ADHD, and this has been a really deep journey of exploration for me, and it's something that I'm very much still trying to understand and learn about. I think ADHD is very misunderstood, and I have also very much misunderstood it myself. I think a lot of us think of it as something that's just like, oh, like you just get distracted really easily or things like that, but it's such a deep experience that really affects every area of life, in my opinion. I think that there's physical components, there's emotional and mental components, and there's spiritual components to it. And this conversation is really just with the intention to explore all of those different aspects and explore how society has affected us. For a long time, I had the perspective that ADHD wasn't real or everyone has it or it's just something that they want to diagnose people with so they can get all sorts of people, especially children, on all these pharmaceutical medications. And I do feel like the pharmaceutical industry profits a lot from humans believing that we're sick and that we are broken and that there is something wrong with us and something wrong with our brains. And I think that can go for a lot of different mental health conditions. A couple years ago, I started learning about what ADHD really is, and I started realizing that there's things that I've been struggling with for most of my life, such as lack of motivation, such as feeling very scattered in my mind, having a hard time slowing down my thoughts, feeling very overwhelmed in a lot of situations, especially if there's a lot of things on the to-do list and things like that. Just having a really hard time getting things done and being really, really hard on myself about that and being really self-critical and judgmental towards myself because I feel like I should be doing all of these things because society tells me that I should be, you know, being super productive all the time. And it created so much shame in me of feeling like, well, I just don't have it in me to just be productive for 8 hours a day like everyone else does. There must be something wrong with me. And I think most people are not meant to function like that, actually, truthfully. But this is very much still a journey for me. I'm still learning about ADHD, and my perspective on it is very nuanced. I don't resonate 100% with the clinical medical model of what ADHD is and how it should be treated. And I also don't fully 100% resonate with the opposite perspective, which maybe in the past I did hold more of, which can be you just shouldn't identify with these things, or it's not really real, or everyone has it, and they just want to medicate children and all of that, or they want to medicate us. I think there's nuance. I think there's a lot of nuance to it, and I am still learning. I don't know what the absolute truth is. All that I really do know is that this is an experience I'm having. So when it comes to the physical elements of ADHD, when it comes to the brain, a couple of the biggest markers of this is lack of proper dopamine production, meaning the dopamine receptors are not firing as they should be and when they should be. And also the prefrontal cortex and executive functioning, which is responsible for motivation. It's also responsible for rationalization. And people with ADHD tend to be very impulsive, tend to have a hard time with motivation sometimes. I think there's many different ways that it can show up, and it also shows up differently for men and for women. And while I know that our brains are malleable and our brains can shift and change at any point, and we have the power to create new neural pathways within the brain, I don't know what is the ultimate truth behind ADHD. Is it just a physical manifestation of trauma and environmental conditions? Or is it a disposition that you come into this world with? And is it something that our society is just not set up to know how to deal with? And that's why it seems like a problem, because our society is set in this very rigid structure of our 9 to 5s and all of these things. And people with ADHD typically do not work very well in those kind of settings, in very super rigid, structured environments. All of this is just to say that I don't know anything. I know some things, but I don't know everything. I am not an expert. I am just looking to explore ADHD and neurodivergence from a spiritual perspective, which I think is very much missing in a lot of the online spaces that I see. The information that I've seen out there is oftentimes very clinical, and while there is so much benefit to that, and this journey really has opened up my mind in a lot of ways to see the benefits of the medical model and the psychology model that is used today, there is a lot of benefits, and I have learned a lot from it throughout my years of life. However, there are also a lot of limitations. And so that is part of what we are exploring today with my beautiful friend, Lisa Beth Lent, who is a wellness educator and preventative health coach and a neurodivergent single mom. She supports women to heal their chronic health conditions and transition into their sovereign abundance through private coaching and straightforward but deep diving self-awareness programs through her nonprofit, AllRiseInc.org. We go into different perspectives on medication and societal expectations and the way that our society, our patriarchal, hyper-masculine, hustle culture society, how this affects people with ADHD, and how we can learn to navigate and work around these structures that have been set up for us, how we can make things easier for ourselves. I am very excited for you all to hear this conversation today. It really gave me a lot to think about, and I have been integrating a lot of the things that we talked about in this conversation, and it's been very timely for me. So I hope that this can be something that you can benefit from if you are neurodivergent or have ADHD, or if you know somebody who is neurodivergent or has ADHD. This conversation may help you to have another perspective. And without further ado, let's get into it. I really struggle with consistency and like maintaining good habits, and then you go and like you read like personal development books or things like that, and then the advice is I've tried so many different things, and it's like such a struggle. Like some days it's so hard for me to do like the most basic tasks.
I know. I so relate, and I'm so inspired to share with you some insights around how I've navigated. And ever since I've been diagnosed last year, I've started to develop a flow, a life flow. And a big tip that really helps me, and it's very common, is to create like I have a daily list. I have like a notebook. It's like a notepad, and I just keep a log of like what are my intentions for the day. And there's it's simple, you know. I don't make it like a giant to-do list, but I find that if I do that at the end of the day for the next day, and then I have the thing, it's kind of like, you know, train tracks that kind of just keep me focused. And then I, you know, I'll sometimes I'll write in, you know, meal, you know, or you know, or if I find I start getting a lot of anxiety, there's this like my body is signaling it's time to get up and move around. So I'll go into the other room, either meditation or jumping around. But what I think people with ADHD, and correct me if you're different than this, is that people feel like they have to be always going. That's one. And see, I'm getting a blip. I'm totally getting a blip. So funny.
No, that's totally fine. I feel like there's two sides of it. Like there's the ADHD type where like there's like the workaholics where it's like they can't stop and they just keep going and going and going until they burn themselves out. And then I feel like the other aspect of it is like having a hard time getting yourself going and getting yourself to do anything. But like that, because I feel like that's what I experience, but it's like I'll be sitting on the couch and it looks like I'm just lazy or I'm doing nothing, but my mind is like racing and like just like there's so much shame of like, oh, I should be doing all of these things, and then feeling very overwhelmed because it's like there's all these things that I want to do or that I feel like I should do, but then not knowing where to start and feeling just like I should be doing something, but I feel like there's so many things and I don't know, and I feel overwhelmed, so I'm just not going to do anything.
And there's so much pressure in the linear culture of it's like a roboticism of existence where we have the days of the week and then we have the morning, afternoon, and evening and what you should be doing at each time. And I have so much resistance to anything that's like uber structured. I need loose structure and flexibility for me to adapt because I have to do what feels true and right and comfortable for me in the moment. I don't know if it's the inner teenager or the ADHD. I don't know what parts of me it is, but I have to have a sense of freedom within the confines. Otherwise, I'll shut down. And that's the thing, is like as soon as there's too much pressure, people with ADHD will escape, you know, in any way. And it's brilliant because the mind is like, abort, you know, and then I'll come up, something will happen in my external reality that will completely derail the plans that I had, whether it be I'll come down with a headache or I'll come down, like there'll be something that, oh my God, I have to bake bread or something like that. Or, you know, there'll be an emergency or an internal emergency that must be taken care of. The escape routes of a person with ADHD is it's impressive. It's very creative. It's a very creative thing, and it needs to be channeled and respected. You know, the mind does not sleep. The mind never sleeps. And that's why it's really hard to wind down. And so important for bedtime to unplug. And that has been something I've been working on for a while. It's hard.
Yeah, it's hard in like this world that we live in too, just all the fluorescent lights and the technology and all of these things, but it really is like I feel like there's so much shame involved a lot of times. And what you were saying about like pressure, I've realized that too. Like I have always put so much pressure on myself, and Anytime I've done that, it has only hurt me. Like, it never actually helped me to do the things that I want to do. It just made me feel like shit about myself and then caused me to not do the things. 'Cause I'm like, well, I just can't do it. Like, I don't know. I suck or whatever. Like, maybe I'm just stupid or, like these
A
lies that
symptom.
our minds tell us.
Perfectionism is a symptom of ADHD. And there's a couple of offshoots of and I can't remember the second one, but it has to do with anticipating rejection. It's like a rejection dysmorphia or something to
Re
that effect.
rejection sensitive dysphoria, I think is what it's called.
Dysphoria. Yeah. And so it's almost this self-defeating, like, why bother if I'm gonna fail? Why bother if people aren't gonna like it or me, right? Why show up if I'm gonna have a terrible experience? You know? And the perfectionism and the self-criticism, it's sabotaging. And I hate that word. I think that word is like overused, but there's this it I think sabotage really comes from a desire to protect. You know,
Absolutely.
we don't want to get hurt, we don't want to fuck up, and like the shame of failure in our culture is brutal. People, you know, snicker at the flash. Like people don't, it's not a loving culture, it feels like. It's hard to be human to show up with actual frailties and weaknesses, because people are just waiting to point fingers. I'm like, oh, and maybe that's my ADHD talking, right?
What's up, family? I want to talk to y'all real quick about one of my favorite online shops for herbal remedies, Valadia Organica. Valadia Organica is a small, family-owned business that is dedicated to redefining wellness through the power of nature. Their mission is to formulate and create exceptional herbal wellness products with a special focus on healing the reproductive system and restoring vitality to the body. Each product is meticulously crafted to harmonize with your body's natural rhythms, promoting true vitality from the inside out. Valadia's Balance Back tincture works miracles for UTIs, yeast infections, and balancing the gut microbiome. The Spirit Soother tincture is the medicine for you if you're dealing with any kind of stress, burnout, or just feeling generally depleted and in need of some support. Their online shop also includes products like Reproductive Remedy and Hormone Helper to help balance your hormones and provide support with fertility, PMS, and menopause. They also have the Respiratory Rescue Tincture, which is an absolute must-have for cold and flu season or if you're feeling under the weather. It's made with an herb called mullein, which is incredibly effective for alleviating coughing, congestion, asthma, bronchitis, and other respiratory issues, while also working to soothe the lungs and help to reduce mucus. With a deep commitment to purity, potency, and sustainability, Valadia Organica ensures that every formula is crafted with love and intention to bring you the healing you desire. I have been following Valadia's journey on YouTube for many years, and her products have seriously helped me so much. So I am incredibly grateful to be partnered with Valadia's company, and I hope that you will go and check out her shop. So go ahead and click the link in the show notes to check it out, support a small business, and get some amazing herbal remedies to support you along your healing journey. And now, back to the episode. I really do feel like ADHD or neurodivergence in general would not be a problem or a disorder if our society wasn't set up the way it is. You know, like we're expected to Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, you go to school or you go to work and you have this just very rigid schedule and you're expected to be on point for like 8 hours a day. And I mean, to be fair, most people don't function like that. You know, and when you talk about school, like most children do not thrive in an environment where they're just sitting and listening to a teacher talk or reading all day. Like it's not helpful or supportive for, I don't think really anyone, especially people who with ADHD or who are neurodivergent. And I feel like that societal aspect is such a big reason why so many of us feel that shame or the pressure that we put on ourselves because we have this hustle culture mindset of like, we have to do all of these things and like, we're supposed to be on point. And then you see like the motivational speakers on Instagram or TikTok or whatever, and they're like, if you don't work hard, then you just don't want it enough. And seeing things like that I've had to really disconnect from a lot of that because it adds to the shame.
Right, it's hustle. Hustle culture is like so hard on the soul. It's great if you're on a success path, and that's like you've got that, hyper masculine, right? Like action. If you have the action, but if you're more in this feminine side, it feels so forceful and oppressive. And I just was hearing the other day that think about the days of the week. It's just your days of the week over and over for your whole life. And before the construct of the calendar, which was invented, it's an invention, and Roman leaders created 2 months, like they just plug them in there, and it's designed for exploitation. It's designed to enslave people into this program. Charting, right, is like a calendar is a chart. A calendar is a mathematical equation, and it's putting us into this calculated thing of extracting our labor. And our normal cycles, as we know as women, right, are cyclic, right, with the moon. And when we were hunter-gatherers, our lives were dictated by the cycles of the sun. And now culture is really hyper productive. And I, as being a now, an ex-caffeine addict, which I was a real caffeine addict, which I think people laugh at, but it's actually real. And you could abuse that drug. But we're obsessed with caffeine in this culture. Look at all the caffeinated beverages. It's all about hyper productivity. And I love and hate that quote, you'll sleep when you're dead. Like, why are we here? To just get as much accomplished? And it's like success is it should be about a sense of accomplishment. Like, that's what fuels my heart, is what makes me give meaning to life. And being neurodivergent, with like, I have to be allegiant to that. I can't not do something. I can do things that are boring for a little while, but if it insults my soul, I will find a way to escape it.
Yeah, my mind kind of spaced. I had something I was gonna say that I literally forgot.
When I get excited, right? When I get excited, that's one of the problems with ADHD, right? Is like it is like, oh, and that's why we interrupt. I interrupt all the time. I've already done it
Me too, girl. Don't feel
probably
bad.
five times at least.
It happens. And I really do feel like the hyper productivity and like the masculine patriarchal, if you will, like culture that we're living in, it doesn't really support that feminine flow or following your passions or and that's the biggest thing that I've been realizing for myself is I think for the longest time I felt like I had to try to fit myself into this box and I had to like do things this certain way and I feel like a lot of it has been realizing if I just follow my natural passion and my natural inclination, it's gonna take me where I want to be. It's going to lead me in the way that I want to go because also like people with ADHD are incredibly creative. Like the creative centers of our brain are like popping off, you know? A lot of artists, musicians like have ADHD or some kind of neurodivergence. And if we can find a way to like tap into that and channel that energy into what we're actually passionate about, then it can be really fulfilling as opposed to just trying to force ourselves to like do the things that we don't want to do. Yeah, just the pressure and the all of that is it's too much. It's too much.
The trick is to, and this is what I'm trying to work around right now, which is I have never-ending ideas. I have so many ideas. It's healthy masculine energy of how to implement, how to take action on all those ideas. Because I will come up with a bazillion different ideas for courses and, invitations and how to, do and share my work and all the different bazillion different ways and different ways to express it. It's how to, I can't think of the words, expedite or implement or but how to do it. It's action. I was so lit up when you were talking about divine guidance because I think that's the out. That's the medicine. That's the medicine of it's not about we're gonna do the thing. It's about I'm gonna trust divine intuition to guide me and inspire me to do the thing that divine guidance wants me to do. And it's always in harmony with what I truly want. Always in harmony. It's never like divine guidance wants me to do something I don't want to do. It's always like win-win. And when it's me charging forward and going, this is what I'm doing, it never seems to work out very well. I'm noticing that a lot now. It's like learning how to truly surrender to that higher consciousness.
And the just the intuition, like our bodies and our intuition, like they know which way to go. And like if we can listen to that and listen to what spirit is trying to tell us, then we will be led in the right direction. And I feel like that healthy masculine energy is so important too, because we talk about patriarchy and we talk about, hyper masculinity or toxic masculinity, but we need our masculine energy too. Like we can't just be fully only feminine forever and just floating in this like abyss of just life. Like we do need that masculine structure, and like that has been like one of the most challenging parts for me to implement, but it is really important because we like the structure is what allows the feminine to flow and not just turn into just chaos and
Right.
oblivion.
Right. Well, I mean, feminine principle is the dark and is the chaos, right? And then Lord, the non-linear, right? And the tricky part that you mentioned about our bodies are honed for alignment, but when there's fear, when the body is dysregulated, that's when the messages can get very confusing. And that's when we try to stop. But when we have ADHD, stopping is not exactly the easiest thing in the world to do. But like making the conscious effort to do so, my most favorite recent form of meditation is called Yoga Nidra, which you probably have heard of, right? It's like what I love about it is it's not doing anything. It's literally getting into a receptive state and observing my body, observing, and it's not, it's different from one of those guided meditations that's like a body scan. It is a body scan, but it's more like jumping from point to point. And for some reason, it's, this ancient Indian way of mapping the body that puts you into a trance. And I also, because I have like neck arthritis and I have lower back pain, sitting up is a chore, like sitting up unsupported. So it's a laying down and like I have my stone. I'll put like my master healer stone, like wherever I want to put it. And to just practice that every day, to practice doing nothing. And I can feel when my body tells me it's like, it's time, especially when my eyelids get really, really heavy, you know, or my brain feels like a scramble and I'm like maxed out. It's time to go do nothing. It's great. And then I feel rested. That's right, resting. Who has time to rest nowadays? You have to make this, it's like a radical act to stop.
That's been such a big part of my journey right now too, is that nervous system regulation and like just noticing and learning to listen to my body or to notice when my mind feels chaotic. And I think meditation can be especially a struggle for people with ADHD, but it's like especially important because we are so susceptible to that like mental chaos and just like overwhelm that. And we live in a society where it's just like there's always something, like we're scrolling on our phones, and then there's like, I live in the city, so it's like there's cars everywhere, there's people everywhere, there's like, it's just a lot going on. And so I do feel like it's so important to have at least a little bit of time in your day where there's no input and you're just like present with yourself.
And knowing, I don't know you very well, but I do know you enough to assume, correct me if I'm wrong, that you're more of a natural medicine person, right? So the thing that I feel like is really criminal is that people fight for their excuses. And this is gonna, of course, people are gonna hate me for saying it. Some people will. That I need my medication and I can't meditate. Like those are the most common things I hear with people who fight for their mental health conditions and say, I can't do the thing, but it's because you refuse to even try. You know, if you believe you absolutely need your meds, I'm not telling you to get off of them, but you know, if you're not even curious about who are you and how can you be there for yourself in and support your brain and your nervous system and your hormonal system without being dependent on these pharmaceuticals that I think just make it, I think they make everything worse as far as mental health conditions go. I mean, within reason, you know, there's people who need, you know, control their psychosis, suppression, and voices in their heads, and that's out of my jurisdiction. But like people with anxiety, depression, ADHD, like we're medicating something we don't even really know what the hell it is. So instead, it's like, what if we took each symptom and loved ourselves with the answers? The answers of like when my mind spins out, I have to stop listening. I find I listen to a lot of things in a day, and that gets exhausting after a while. And then my brain is like revved, doesn't know how to stop. It's like just silence, no input for a bit.
I feel like this opens up such a deeper conversation too that I love that we're talking about this because I've been wanting to talk about this on the podcast and just like the mental health space in general. Before we started recording, I was talking about how I've for a long time been somewhat against the medical model in many ways and had this perspective that like they just want to put everyone on pharmaceuticals and they want to give us these labels so that it's because it's like disempowering us. And that has made me very resistant to getting help for, these symptoms or these struggles that I have. And so this journey for me has really been about finding that nuance and finding like the gray area because learning about ADHD has made me feel like I feel like I understand myself so much more, and I feel like a lot of my life makes sense, and it helps me to see that it's not just that there's something wrong with me, But at the same time, it can be very disempowering to take on these labels and to be like, well, I have depression, or I have an anxiety disorder, or I am autistic, or I have ADHD, and that means I can't do this and this and this. I can't meditate, or I can't run a marathon, or like whatever it is that you feel like you want to do, or maybe there's things that would be supportive for you, but that you're resistant to, like meditation. And it really is disempowering. And I think that is the danger. And I think that, the pharmaceutical model just, they make it so easy for you to be like, oh, just take this pill and it'll make you feel better. And, I have friends with ADHD who are on medication and they say it really helps them. And I have seen many people talk about that their ADHD medication really helps them to function throughout their day. And I myself have thought about it because I'm like, maybe it could help me. And I think that it can be used as a tool. Like, I don't want to shame anyone for taking medication, but at the same time, it's not going to fix the problem. It's not getting, none of these medications are getting to the root of whatever issues you're having. It's just a band-aid. And then, like you said, like a lot of times it can make it worse, especially if you've been on a certain medication for years and years and then you get off of it. It's like you don't even know who you are. You don't even know how to function without it. And I think learning to, I think everyone's journey is different and like whatever you choose is perfect for you. But I personally like to learn how to support myself in natural ways because I don't want to become dependent on a medication or on the pharmaceutical companies who I know really don't have my best interest at heart.
Yeah, and it's great that you mentioned the necessity of finding a middle ground, and also honoring that everybody is on a different path. And it's just frustrating to hear people say, "I can't do that," because they haven't even explored like what would it take for you to do the thing that you want to do but say you can't do. Are you hiding behind a thing, or is it a mental construct, or is it legit? I mean, and the thing that I wanted to like fess up is that, I mean, I just turned 50. My ADHD symptoms got so much worse in the past couple of years, and that's why I went for a diagnosis. And it turns out that perimenopause will aggravate ADHD, and who knew? Right? Like, I was like, oh, interesting. And then I started getting like all these hot flashes and all this stuff. And I was having hot flashes like all day long. And hot flashes feel like a fever just comes over to you, like you get pummeled by a fever. And then I'd have chills. I'd be like hot and cold all day long. And I had insomnia, like relentless insomnia. And I recently just went on HRT, which is hormone replacement therapy, which is really it, the best time to do it is when you're perimenopausal. It's not advised when you're already lost your period. And I'm able to sleep, and my hot flashes are so much more diminished. And I am as naturopathic as they come. I have an apothecary of herbs in my house. I have all the accoutrements of first aid you can imagine. I'm a big fan of, like I use St. John's wort in the morning to help me with stimulation. It's kind of like a cup of coffee sort of a thing. It's St. John's wort is a panacea, very well known for depression, right? And then I have lemon balm and oat straw and Tulsi tea. I forget what it's called, the regular herb. But you said something, and I want to try to say this with this with the, with grace, and so you receive it in a loving way. Is like ADHD and like anxiety issues, depression, more so actually, anxiety and depression are problems, right? They're problems because it's about nervous system issues, really, like from a biological perspective. It's their nervous system issues, and ADHD is a brain neurological issue, but it's not a problem. It's a disposition, and there's no fixing ADHD, but there's loving how to make peace with what is instead of overriding. Because a lot of people, what I've heard is that yes, their ADHD meds were like they couldn't see, they couldn't see, and then they put on glasses and they were like, oh my God, that's amazing. But I've also heard the dark side of it where people just can't focus. They feel like they're dead inside. They feel like they don't have creative energy. And I don't have the patience to try all the different medications out there to find out which one am I most me on. And that's why I've been very adamant. I did try an ADHD medication for literally a month, and it just gave me anxiety. And I'm like, fuck this. Just, I didn't want to go there. So I think herbs are a nice, like, for me, they're symptom management, and also the more supportive of the body, the herbs that I do, they're always nurturing.
Yeah, and that's the thing about so many pharmaceuticals is like they might help you in this one area, but then they hurt you in another area. And I don't feel like something that should be healing is supposed to also hurt you, you know? And yeah, there's so much nuance, and I think trauma is a huge factor in like any sort of mental disorder or anything, but you know, we're kind of specifically talking about ADHD. I think trauma can be a huge factor. Like I said, I grew up in a very chaotic household where there was no structure or stability. And I think that contributed a lot. I think society and like the way that our world is, like this rigid structure of like the 9 to 5s and you know, all the technology and all these constant distractions, I think that's plays a huge factor in all of this. You know, when they talk about ADHD and they say it's purely genetic. And I think I mean, I've heard that said about a lot of different like health conditions or disorders. And I think that there's so much nuance because while, you know, my mom was never diagnosed with ADHD, but when I think about how she was, I could definitely see like there's a good chance that she had ADHD or something along those lines. But I think also while genetics can play a role, it's also like, for example, I've heard it said, and I could be totally wrong about this. I'm no medical professional, but I've heard that like, so for example, if diabetes runs in your family and like you have like diabetes like within your genes of your family, it doesn't mean necessarily that you're gonna get diabetes, but if you eat the same foods and like live the same kind of lifestyle that maybe your grandparents lived who had diabetes, then you're more likely to experience that. And so I feel like that's important to say because there's so much nuance. I don't know if you've read Gabor Mate's book about ADD. It's called Scattered Minds.
I mean, I haven't read it, but I've heard a lot about it and I've listened to a lot of his work.
That book has helped me a lot, and I love that he goes into the nuances. Like he talks about the trauma aspects of it and how like even like societally the way that women or parents are trained to raise their children and attachment issues and things like that can also
Oh yeah.
contribute to these things.
Absolutely. I mean, I love Gabor Mate. I've heard so many good things. He's a huge leader in our culture now. But I've heard some criticisms of his work as well. And I think it's like it take what you like and leave the rest. And what I love about his work is that he speaks to how trauma affects your mind. And that's not to be minimized. It's huge. And like the genetics of whether or not people manifest, I could almost see it even between me and my brother. My brother, he's a Capricorn also, and he's very focused. This man, he sits all day and stares at a computer screen for most of his days. And And but he claims to have ADHD too. And I think he has it very differently. He presents very differently than I do. And I also I identify as having a highly sensitive nervous system. So I'm a highly sensitive person. I identify with having some psychic ability, being clairsentient and claircognizant, all highly attuned things, because I do think that I had a lot more trauma than he did because I was female. And I think I was treated very differently because I was female. And so it just presents a whole nother, part of the puzzle. But it's funny that you say about diabetes. Diabetes does run in my family. And I was adamant about watching my sugar intake because of that, and it's the same thing. And I forget what the terminology is. You were really touching on it too, which is like, if you don't trigger those codes in the DNA, then you're fine. But trauma will definitely, trauma is stress, and it's going, if you have a disposition for something, it's going to make it, it's going to turn them on.
That's another thing that Gabor Mate talks about in his book is so something that his book really helped me to realize is that like when you don't get what you need as a child, then your brain will not develop properly. And I feel like that's such a huge part of it for me is that I did not receive the love or attention that I needed as a child or that connection. And that has really affected the way that I exist in the world and the way my brain works.
I have 20 years on you, and I'll tell you that doing child healing work and learning, because your higher consciousness is your parent, right? Your higher self just is waiting for the opportunity to meet those parts of you that didn't get what it needed, and to meet that need. And that's how I've been healing a lot lately, is reassurance, giving myself stability. I identify as a fearful avoidant, which is the insecure attachment of the most disorganized, right? Which hence ADHD, right? So I love where this conversation has ended, because to me it's very hopeful that learning to love ourselves means learning to meet the needs that were unmet in this crazy culture. I mean, I blame culture a lot, because it's parents are just responding to the demands of culture, and they're not conscious, but we are more conscious, and we have the ability to heal ourselves with support, right? Through these conversations and encouragement. But I know that as a healing adult, I need constant reassurance from my higher self going, I love you. You're awesome. You're doing it. And I'm so proud of you, and I am proud of you, Serena. You're awesome.
Thank you. I'm proud of you. You're awesome too. And I just want to close by saying, like we all may struggle with different, mental health issues or things like that. Definitely what I want to just say with this conversation is like we're not broken. We're learning and healing can definitely, I think, help and support us a lot with this. So thank you so much for coming on today. I really appreciate you, and I love you so much.
I love you too, sister.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to like, subscribe, leave a comment letting me know how you liked this episode. And if you have topic suggestions for future episodes, feel free to leave them in the comments there. If you're listening on a podcasting platform, it would really help me out if you could leave me a nice review letting me know how you like the podcast so far. Thank you so much and stay blessed.